This is Ask Hank, where Hank Hanegraaff, the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, takes 3 minutes to further equip you to defend your faith.
First up today, Nancy. Nancy is listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. My question is actually for a Christian friend who raises sheep. He called my husband and I asking about selling sheep to Muslims that would be using them to celebrate Ramadan.
I think, yes. Go ahead and sell them the sheep, and along with selling them the sheep, give them the gospel.
Well, that was our thinking, but out of respect to his question, that's why I was calling you. He actually prayed for Jewish believers that would come to purchase his sheep so that he could witness to them. And I said, well, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? So,
absolutely.
Muslim customers.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what we ought to do. I mean, if you own a clothing store and a Muslim comes in, what better way than to reach, not repel? And that's precisely what we do by engaging people and communicating with people. And ultimately, when the heart changes, everything else changes. Just in general, though, Ramadan is the 9th month of the Islamic calendar. And in the exercise of the Islamic faith, it's a month of fasting during daylight hours and abstaining from food and drink, including water and sexual relations during daylight hours. And the purpose of the fast for Muslims is to instill patience and humility and ultimately submission to God or Allah. So the idea behind it is supposedly a time of increased prayer, reading through the Quran, alms to the poor, and all these kinds of things. And then the sheep or the mutton are used for the feasts that follow the daily fast. So you have the daily fast, and after the daily fast, you have a feast, and that's when you eat the mutton. I think it becomes an opportunity to understand what it is that they're doing and using the deviations from a biblical worldview as opportunities to share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Because ultimately, the problem is the Muslim does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. In fact, to believe that Jesus Christ is God is for them the unforgivable sin of shirk. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, and therefore they don't believe Jesus Christ was resurrected. So these are things that we can use the opportunity of communication and interaction with the Muslim. We can use this opportunity as a springboard to communicate the truth and life and love that only the Jesus Christ of the biblical worldview can bring to the human heart.
For more Ask Hank episodes or for the full Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as many other resources to defend the truth of the gospel, visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. Do you have questions about the Bible, cults, the occult, world religions, or other related topics? Have you ever been stumped by something that appears to be a contradiction in the Bible? Then you've tuned to the right place. Coming up in just a few minutes, you can hear your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide Christians worldwide with carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers that encourage them in their faith and equip them to intelligently represent it to people influenced by ideas and teachings that assault or undermine Orthodox biblical Christianity. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We do what we do because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world, a copy of Mere Christianity. Now, this is a series of talks first given by C.S. Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. And there is a sense in which we can say there's commonality between what he was dealing with then and what we are dealing with today. They were threatened by the towering menace of Nazi Germany, and they were trying to answer the truly big questions of life. Many, for example, were questioning their faith. And what Lewis was trying to do in that epoch of time was to present the distilled essence of the faith, or what he called mere Christianity. And although he addressed a British audience in the 1940s, his thoughts and words are timeless. They speak to us with profound relevance as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, attacks from Paris to San Bernardino. But it's not just terrorist attacks that are Muslim in nature. There's also what we would call spiritual terrorism, because more and more there are people in academia, the media, in popular culture who seek to destroy the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And again, this is why I'm so excited. I found a very special copy. It's special not only in terms of the content, of course, but because of the presentation of that content. I found a special presentation of Mere Christianity, and it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And one of the nuggets in the book, I shared one yesterday, I'll share another today, is when Lewis talks about his desire for another world. He says, if I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse us, to suggest the real thing. And thus said Lewis, I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that country and to help others do that very same thing. Just one of the quotes from Mere Christianity. As mentioned yesterday, if you've read the book, you're probably like me. You'll want to read it again and again. It's that kind of a book. It's transcendent. And in reading it, you get to interact with another mind. Lewis is dead, but he was alive when he wrote it. And it is profound. Again, available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. First up today, Dave. He's listening in Marysville, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Dick, by the way.
Sorry.
My question is about Mark chapter 9, verse 47. Do you believe that it's literal, or should we spiritualize that? because on the last part of the verses, he says, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, brilliant on your part to read the context, because that tells you in and of itself that this should not be taken in a wooden literal sense. When we enter the New Jerusalem, we're going to do so with bodies that are completely restored. Not only will there no longer be any death, but mortality will put on immortality, corruptibility, incorruptibility. And so we will be made to be what we would have been had sin never entered the world. So the language is clearly that of hyperbole. In the context, Jesus is saying, you've heard that it was said, don't commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already done that in his heart. And then he adds the hyperbole. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So it's prophetic hyperbole talking about how significant it is to obey the commands of God rather than the precepts or the predilections of our own will. What's also interesting is in the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus does is he takes the Mosaic Law, he draws it out to its logical conclusion, demonstrating that no one can keep the law perfectly. And that's why we don't present ourselves before God dressed in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness, but rather in the spotless robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I see that. So I would say then that you don't believe that literally, that is not to be done.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you've pointed out why by giving the context. And I think that's brilliant on your part, because oftentimes what people do is they take bits of verses and try to diagnose them without taking into consideration context, context, context. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Michael, listening in Denver, Colorado, KRKS. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I'm reading through the book of Genesis now, and when God sent the two angels to Sodom, you know, there was, I can't quote it word perfect, but there was the idea that there was the idea about seeing, like what was really going on into the city. And then in the Tower of Babel, you know, he said, let's go down and see what they're doing. So, I guess I'm a little stumped in that. You know, I know God is all knowing, he's omniscient. Then why did the angels have to go down to see what was happening? Didn't God know already?
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons I often talk about the necessity to learn to read the Bible rightly or mind the Bible for all its wealth, because at the very beginning, you have the same conundrum. God says to Adam and Eve, where are you? If you're reading this in a wooden literalistic sense, then you would suddenly think that God has lost his omniscience. Obviously, this is what's called an anthropomorphism. It is God condescending to speak to us in the manner of a human being so that we can relate to his speaking. And that is precisely what's going on with respect to the Lord and the two angels and what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. They visit Abraham on the plains of Mamre, and now are having an interaction with him, and the interaction is communicated to us in such a way that we can apprehend the meaning of the interaction.
Okay. So then, I guess, I don't want to sound dense, why was it they said that they had to go to find out what was happening? I guess I just still don't understand that.
Yeah, I think, again, this is a human condescension. God speaking in a way that we can apprehend or attain to. But also, there's something going on that's rather mysterious in the passage, and it's called a theophany and angelophanies. When God appears to Abraham, he appears in the form of a man, and we call that a theophany. The angels appear in the form of men. We call that angelophanies. So you have the Lord and two angels appearing and eating and walking and discerning things that are happening in real time. And therefore, the narrative is communicating that to us, but it's communicating to us in a way that we can get what's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I knew you'd give me a good answer, and I didn't mean to sound like I was doubting.
I think this is perfect. Perfect, Michael, and I appreciate very much that you followed up. I think it's important to do that. I sometimes speak of things that I've spoken of many, many times and fail to recognize that sometimes it's good to repeat it or rephrase it, and you challenged me to do that. That's wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you again, and God bless your new year.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for calling back to the phones. Rachel, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Sir, I was wondering, I have some coworkers who claim to be Christians and some friends, and yet they go to casinos and gamble. Oklahoma has a lot of casinos. What is your stance on that, and how, from a biblical perspective, can I present it to them?
Well, I think that it's important to realize that we do not want to elevate chance over the sovereignty of God. And sometimes what happens is we try to take things into our own hands and allow luck to be the dominant force. And the Bible doesn't want us to do that. We're called to be good stewards of our resources, and games of chance are not good stewardship. You can think about it maybe in some sense on a very small scale as entertainment, but overall it's not something that is the kind of thing that Christians ought to be involved in.
Okay. In the passage, it talks about, there's a parable in the New Testament, talks about the three servants were each given some money, so the master left them in charge of that, and talks about their different ways of handling that money. One of them invests it and gets a return, and he's rewarded. So that is not an analogy that therefore approves gambling?
No, because this is the wise investment of one's talent. It is using the gifts that God has given to us as opposed to gambling. Again, gambling glorifies chance. It encourages people to rely on luck rather than the providence of God. It disregards Christian stewardship principles and often attempts to profit at someone else's expense. So overall, it's a practice that appeals to greed and a practice that can be transcendently addictive.
Okay. Are there any biblical verses or chapters that I could use to study it more?
Well, yes, I think in one sense, this gets back to what I'm getting people to do all this year, that is to read through the Bible, because this is what we would call a theological deduction from Scripture. So all of the principles come from Scripture, but they come from a Christian worldview derived out of the pages of Scripture rather than proof texting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Do remember you can download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can listen, learn, share. You can even receive archived editions of the broadcast, read hundreds of articles, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion on CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app, and you can have the app on your computer or your smartphone. We're going to come to a station break. Do remember that the Christian Research Journal can be seen online at equip.org, and you can subscribe there as well. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. The current edition of the Christian Research Journal has a very intriguing article, among many articles. It's titled Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, written by Muslim expert David Wood. It is so important to read these kinds of articles because oftentimes when Sharia is talked about, many people say, yeah, but, and then they bring up the Old Testament. So what David does is he contrasts Sharia as it is practiced in Muslim countries and the Old Testament theocratic rules that were practiced for a short period of time in a particular venue within the whole complex of human history. Again, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, 29-year-old Brittany Maynard moved from California to Oregon to receive physician-assisted suicide legally. In the wake of this well-publicized story, lawmakers in almost half the states prepared to pursue physician-assisted suicide laws. Arguments for misery are powerful, but the understandable emotions of the moment should not dictate the ethics of our future. Subscribe to the current issue of the Christian Research Journal and learn how death with dignity relates to the image of God in us. Start your subscription by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity, and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the world's most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he does not seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal opens a window into the theological vision of Pope Francis. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mark. He's listening in Wichita, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I gave you your ministry, and we've really been blessed so many times by insights we've gained from listening to your radio station and some of the resources that we've purchased. Thanks a lot.
Well, bless you, Mark. Thank you.
I've got a sister who I love dearly. She's been in the Watchtower for about 30 years. And I'm preparing to try to communicate with her how important it is that she believes in the deity of Christ. And I was wondering if you had, because it isn't that I understand some of the scripture, obviously, John 1:1 and Romans 8:28 and a lot of sources where it talks about Jesus calling himself God. I told her, I said, sis, the important thing, the crux of the question is, are you going to go to heaven believing in Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins? That's what she believes, regardless of what the Watchtower is putting out. But she doesn't believe that he is God. And I said, I think that's a deal breaker. And I wonder if you have not only your thoughts on that, but if you have a resource that would indicate to her that she must trust in the full deity of Christ for salvation.
Sure, because only Jesus Christ can do what is necessary for us to be reconciled to a holy God. No one else could do that. Jesus lived the perfect life which we could never live, and he offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. We can simply reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. But what I love, Mark, is the way that you're dealing with your sister. I can tell it in your voice. It's not a matter of winning a debate with her. It's a matter of reaching out to someone that you dearly love. And so oftentimes with family members, I don't advise that you get into some kind of an argument or polemic with them, but rather testify to her by the testimony of your life and the testimony of your love, which opens up all kinds of opportunities. It opens up the opportunity for you to pray for her. It opens the opportunity for God to send others to do what oftentimes is difficult to do with family members. But it also does open the opportunity for communication that's not combative. So again, I love the manner in which you're asking the question. I think that's important. But I do think you're absolutely correct in saying this is a deal breaker. Not only for the reason that I just mentioned, only Jesus Christ can separate the chasm between a holy God and unrighteous people, but also because this is the mother of all questions. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have chosen to mutilate the Scriptures, to take out things from the Scripture and place other things in the Scripture. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, they add the word other 4 times to the biblical text. So Jesus Christ is not the creator of all things. He becomes the creator of all other things. So he's a creature that God himself creates and then becomes a junior partner in creating other things. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were made. And so Jesus Christ very clearly is the creator of all things, and himself is divine. And only a divine creator can save us from our sins. And that's the biblical message. And as you correctly say, again, it's a deal breaker not to hold to it. Now, you know, it's not the absence that of knowledge that damns, it's the despising of knowledge that damns. And if you communicate to her what the scripture says clearly, then she's accountable for what has been communicated to her.
Well, I appreciate your confidence in that. I've heard you speak about this a time or two before. I know there is plenty of scripture that would obviously indicate in the triune God, but for some reason, you know, it's such a network of deception in their scripture that they continue to sabotage John 1:1 with a little g on, you know, the word was our God, and just as you mentioned, all other things that Christ created, they continue to create a network of deception where my sister is clouded in the truth of his deity. And I wanted to know, again, Brash, from you personally, that was your thoughts. It Spirit seems to speak to me that's the most important thing I could communicate with her. And there's, without question, I love her, and I'm able to speak with her honestly, but boy, their network is awfully, it's
difficult
to get into.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, there's no question. But as I've mentioned on the Bible Answerman broadcast a number of times, I remember witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness for years and years and years, and sometimes I would become so discouraged because it not only seemed as though my communication wasn't getting through, but it seemed as though it would never get through. And a number of years later, I was doing a speaking engagement somewhere in the world, I don't remember exactly where, and that same Jehovah's Witness came up to me and had become a believer. Now, all I had done is sowed a seed. Someone else had watered the seed, and God gave the increase. But the Jehovah's Witness was now no longer a Jehovah's Witness, no longer an adherent of the Watchtower organization, and in fact was teaching Christians how to witness to the witnesses in a local church. So, yeah, sometimes it can be, in the process, somewhat discouraging. But if you leave the results up to the Holy Spirit and simply choose to be a tool in His hand, then the responsibility is no longer on you. We don't have to feel as though, as much as you love your sister, there's force feeding that's necessary. Jesus claimed to the Jews, "I and the Father are one." And what's interesting about that is when the Jews heard that, they picked up stones to stone Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said to them, "I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" Well, they said, "We're not stoning you for any of these, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." So one thing we can say with absolute certainty is that the Jews themselves were not in denial. They knew that Jesus was claiming to be the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence, and that's why they wanted to kill him.
Where is the passage where the 600 Roman soldiers fell back when Jesus claimed to be God? Did I hear that accurately a couple days ago?
Well, I don't know how many soldiers it was, but it takes place in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is being arrested by the soldiers, and they see just a small sign of the effulgence of his glory. And as a result of that, as you just described, they fell back. You'll find that in the back of the Synoptic Gospels.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your love and compassion for mankind.
Thank you, Mark, and yours as well. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Greg, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi.
We love the compassion for mankind. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, Greg, you there? Sounds like you had your radio on. Maybe you can turn it off, and we'll get back to you in just a few moments. Back to the phone lines, Nathan in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hi.
Hey, Frank. Hank, sorry.
How you doing?
There? Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call. I talked to you a couple of years ago about preterism, and that I had some friends that studied that way, and I agreed with your perspective on it. Anyway, I was doing a little bit of biblical research today, and I know Wikipedia is subjective to its authors, but I noticed on there your profile came up, and it described you as a preterist apologist, and I was wondering if you changed your viewpoint or if that's just a misrepresentation.
No, it's a great example of internet lies traveling halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. I've never claimed to be a preterist. In fact, I've said on the broadcast recently that I think full preterism is outright heresy. Now, there are partial preterists, and I have a great appreciation for their perspective, but I'm not one of them. And the reason I'm not one of them is I think that preterism makes the same mistake that futurism makes, but only in reverse order. A futurist does it with a newspaper in his hand, and they're creating this is that fallacy, and a preterist does it with a history book in their hand. But I think that at the end of the day, it's a misunderstanding or misreading of many of the symbols that you find in books like the Book of Revelation.
Yeah. One quick second question. The previous caller mentioned about Jehovah's Witness. I was actually, over the past few weeks, formulating some questions for you about that, and he had mentioned that he was requesting some materials. I, too, have someone that I'd like to present the truth to, and do you know of any just one-stop-shop turnkey resource, that like a reference manual that I can find to help me as a tool to, you know?
Are you talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses in general? Or the deed of Jesus Christ?
In general, just doctrine versus doctrine, truth versus Jehovah's Witness doctrine.
Yes. Well, here's kind of what I like to do in terms of a turnkey, something simple, is I use the acronym doctrine. And the reason I do that is because my contention has always been that we have to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. So it's not as much about understanding the all the different errors of all the different sects and all the different cults and world religions and so forth. It's a matter of understanding the truth. Then you can contrast now truth and error. As has been well said, if you want to see if a stick is crooked, you have to stick next to it a straight stick, and then you see its crookedness. And so the acronym doctrine works very, very well. I use the D, for example, to describe the deed of Jesus Christ, the D in doctrine. And so you see the difference between those who believe in the deity of Jesus Christ and who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and so forth. I go through the acronym, and it becomes a good way of contrasting truth and error. I've also produced a few entries on Jehovah's Witnesses in my complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you go to the web at equip.org, you'll find a whole host of other resources as well in this regard.
All right. Thanks, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. The aforementioned Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And while you're there, do remember the Christian Research newsletter, free of charge. You can get your copy mailed out to you, delivered to you in whatever fashion you need it by simply going to the web at equip.org. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
For over 30 years, Christian hip-hop has faced major challenges, ranging from the hostility of a hip-hop community that allowed for everything except Jesus, to the suspicions of a church at large that questioned whether hip-hop could ever be anything but worldly and demonic. Find out how Christian hip-hop has survived these challenges and what new challenges it faces when you subscribe to the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online at equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break.
In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. In his article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, David Wood shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we return to your phone calls. Next up is Tim listening in Arkansas. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Hank. Hey, listen, I was wondering, years ago when I first became a Christian, if I became a Christian, I was witnessed to by a witness for Christ that smoked marijuana, and I've had trouble with it all my life. Is there
you
any
mean the
way
witness or smoking marijuana?
Pardon me?
You mean the witness or the smoking of marijuana?
Both. In other words, he smoked marijuana, so I had a problem with that. I had a problem with his witness, too.
Got it.
But what I'm trying to say is, is there any way that somebody can be a genuine follower of Christ, saved, delivered, healed, and have occasion, even just every now and then, you know, every so often, have occasion to smoke cannabis?
Well, I think there is the possibility that someone is smoking marijuana and still is a genuine believer. However, I think smoking marijuana is incompatible with the Christian worldview, and there are a lot of reasons for it. Same thing, by the way, with smoking cigarettes, although the consequences are far graver for smoking marijuana than smoking cigarettes even. But there are consequences, and as Christians, we are called to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. And the problem with marijuana is it compromises both. And so I would, in turn, as a believer, if I had the opportunity to share with someone who was partaking, I would communicate with them the psychophysical problems of marijuana and the liabilities of tetrahydrocannabinol. It's a very dangerous elixir, and to partake is detrimental to your witness and to your health.
Well, I'm not going to defend myself too much, but I'm a musician. I play guitar and sing at different places around town. And when I smoke a little marijuana, man, I can put on a show.
Well, at least you think you're putting on the show, right? Because you don't really,
okay.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, I hear a lot of musicians say that, and a lot of musicians that are listening to the musicians who really know music say, this guy thinks he's doing a lot better, but it's because he's in an altered state of consciousness.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so in other words, it's not a sign that I'm just not saved if I have an occasion to do that.
Well, no, it isn't. I mean, the real thing that you need to get straight in your mind is, are you a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? And if the answer is yes to that, then you want to adhere to the principles of the kingdom. And as you continue to grow, what you do is you continue to conform the pattern of your life to the pattern that Christ would set out for you to follow.
This witness I was talking about was years ago. I don't know if he still smokes, but he said it was no sin.
Well, again, you have to recognize that indulging in something that's detrimental to you from a physical and a metaphysical perspective is something that you shouldn't partake in.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And when I talk about this, so often people equate marijuana and alcohol, but there's a lot of differences between the two. Popularization of the pill, remember, paved the way for the horror of Roe v. Wade. Acceptance of same-sex marriage mutated into legalization of same-sex marriage. So same-sex sexuality mutated, became same-sex marriage. And the legalization of medical marijuana has morphed into legislation for recreational marijuana. And so now a lot of people think, it's okay in a lot of states like Colorado, so I'm going to partake as well. But there are psychophysical problems associated with marijuana that are very significant. From a psychological perspective, it includes diminished cognitive function, memory impairment, panic attacks in some case, psychotic episodes and others, hallucinations, sleep deprivation, dependence on the substance. And then from a physical perspective, there are maladies like respiration illness and even alterations in the structure and chemistry of your brain. In terms of what tetrahydrocannabinol does, it's something that is dangerous because when you're smoking or eating pot, there is simply no objective way to control dosages. And so people who partake do so until they feel some kind of a subjective feeling of high. But the danger is that just as in a golf swing, feel is hardly real. A mere four inhalations of the active ingredient, tetrahydrocannabinol, it can Well, it can be all that it takes to achieve a altered state of consciousness. And if you want to put this another way, a dosage as little as 7 milligrams of THC becomes an unwelcome gateway into spiritual and psychophysical maladies that continue to spiral lives into viral dives. Again, the Bible doesn't speak directly to marijuana, but the principles that I've outlined are principles that are significant. I've actually written about this, and it's going to come out in the near future. It may have also appeared in a past edition of the Christian Research Journal, where I use the acronym POT, so you can remember the psychophysical liabilities, the occult dangers, and THC liabilities, P-O-T. Back to the phone lines. We'll go back and talk to Zach. He's listening in Minnesota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Zach.
Hi. My question is on. I'm looking for a good biblical answer as to what Jesus had to say about alcohol. I know he turned water into wine, but he also condemns drunkenness. And I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I think that the biblical answer to the question is to recognize, sort of in concert with what I was saying to the last caller, that we are to be stewards of the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity, which is to say that we shouldn't overeat and we shouldn't overdrink. Solomon, inspired by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of all Scripture is inspired, says, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat." And then he equates the two. He says, "Drunkards and gluttons become poor in drowsiness, clothes them in rags." So the gluttony is a sin against the temple of the Holy Spirit on a physical level. Drinking can be a sin against the temple of the Holy Spirit on both a physical and a metaphysical level. So the two are equated. We shouldn't abuse the body, and we shouldn't abuse the non-physical aspect of our humanity. But there are many other scriptures that could be mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, as I mentioned, the issue is not whether you drink wine. The issue is whether you get drunk. Because wine can be a blessing, and that's pointed out in various biblical passages. Isaiah 25 says, on the mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for his people and a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. So wine can be a blessing. It can even be used medicinally. Paul saying to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it.
That cleared it up pretty well for me.
Cool. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David, Seattle, Washington. He's listening on KCIS. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. So my question kind of tails off of what you're talking to with the caller who talked about the Jehovah Witness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
About the deity of Christ. But I fully believe that Christ is divine. I believe it explicitly says that in the scriptures. But I have a few friends who are Christians that don't believe that it is essential to believe in Christ, that Christ was God, and be saved, to be saved. And I just kind of wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, I think that what's important is to realize is that without both natures, Christ's passion on the cross would have been insufficient. Because as man, he was a representative. He was the second Adam. As God, his death was sufficient to provide redemption for the sins of the whole world. And so, as mentioned to the previous caller, it is only Jesus Christ who can bridge the chasm between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of humanity. No one else can do that. We can't do that on our own. And if you think about every religious construct, they're all man's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through their own works, by living a good life, by obeying the Ten Commandments. Even in some of the metaphysical cults, you go round and round and round until finally you become one with nirvana or one with the universe. But it's all an attempt to reach up, become acceptable to God by what you do. Christianity is precisely the opposite. It says we can never be good enough to be acceptable to God because it requires perfection. Well, there's only one perfect one, and he did what we couldn't do.
Yeah, I agree completely. A few of the arguments they have, I believe it's explicit in the Bible, and they say certain things that they say that they don't add up, like Jesus is switching back and forth between his natures, things like that.
But he's not switching back and forth between his natures as such. There is a reality to what they're saying in that Jesus Christ speaks from the perspective of his humanity in the scriptures, but every now and then he also lets you know that he is God. I mean, the ultimate example of that is his resurrection. He has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again. But for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, no one knows about that day. And then he gives the categories. Men don't know, angels don't know, but only God knows. Well, obviously, he's saying he doesn't know, so in that case, he's talking from the perspective of his humanity, but that's precisely what Scripture says. He made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, made in human likeness. In other words, he set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes. And with that, I'm out of time. Good talking to you. Look forward to seeing all of you back right here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.